Yo, what is popping, guys? It's been 2 weeks. Cody, how have you been, brother? Well, before we get into that, actually, we're missing our bubby.
Our bubby's gone right now.
He's traveling right now. He's at a promotion for his family. So I understand his cousin's promoting to high school. We understand it, but we do miss him. But that's why we don't have three. We only have two. But we're going to get straight into it. We kind of have a quick segment today because there wasn't like too much news. And with two rather than three people, we should be able to get through it. And then we have a little fun game at the end that's going to be pertaining to Cody and I mainly, just because we're 49er fans and we've been diehard for a bit now. But Cody, it has been 2 weeks, like I said. How you been, man?
Been good, man. I mean, we've been pretty busy this past month of May. You know, flew back for my dad's 60th, had some wedding stuff, working a lot. So just been grinding. We got another wedding coming up this weekend. So another eventful weekend ahead of us. So I'm pretty pumped about that and pretty pumped to get in this episode and talk a little football. So how you been?
Cool. Dude, I've been good too. Honestly, busy. Life is chaotic. Adulting low-key sucks. And again, it's been fun adulting and, you know, stressful adulting, but Anthony's moving out, so I'm trying to find a roommate, and dude, it's difficult. But I did find one guy that I'm going to grab beers next Wednesday, I believe, with, so let's pray that this works. Like you said, we have a wedding, Kevin and Lindsay's, so shout out to you guys. We're really excited for that, but other than that, man, ready to talk some ball, and we have a couple 49er segments, so let's get into it.
Green 18, red 48, settle down, wide 80, said hut.
We suck. Get rid of Belichick, get rid of Mac Jones, get rid of our entire fucking receiving core.
You guys are 2-8.
That's what I thought.
2-7, 2-8, it doesn't matter, we still suck.
So Seahawks played the Ravens. Final score was 28-25. Geno Smith, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. Not really much to write home about that game. Right.
This is a
great. I don't think Jared Goff is a top 5 quarterback in the NFC.
Are you putting Justin Herbert over Jared Goff?
Yes.
It was like an interview for like a new podcast company. Called Brazzers. I mean, you could see I'm literally in the I'm in the headquarters right now, dude.
Dude, you know what I realized? That shit's so funny, but the last quote says Abraham Lincoln, Kentucky.
Yeah.
This is in Kentucky.
Dick Butkus, 4 out of 5 stars.
Yeah. Honestly, Keaton Cook with that, man. Miss you, Keaton. But
let's
get straight into it. We have about 6 or 7 segments just with offseason stuff. And realistically, a lot of these are just kind of BS. And we're going to talk about it just because it's going to be fun to talk about. And some of them are with the Niners. And this kind of relates to the Niners based off of last year with CMC. But the real question that is, being asked recently is, will the Madden curse live on? And the reason I say that is because the Madden curse, specifically with running backs in the past, has been a big thing, specifically and most recently with CMC, who obviously got hurt last year, didn't have too good of a year, didn't play a lot. But again, we kind of see this now with Saquon. Let me pull this up. Saquon Barkley is now the – or it's been announced that Saquon Barkley is the cover athlete for the Madden NFL 26. And again, we've seen this multiple times. Super Bowl champion, AP NFL Offensive Player of the Year, and he's now a Madden NFL 26 cover athlete. Hell of a year for Saquon, by the way. Probably one of the greatest ever by a running back. However, will it live on? And I will say this. Not only will the Madden curse live on, but there's another curse that I mentioned a little bit but didn't get into, and that is the NFL Offensive Player of the Year award curse. So not only is Saquon dealing with just one curse, he is potentially dealing with two. And the reason I say that is because in the last 5 years, like we said, CMC was a good example of this. He did similar to what Saquon did in 2023. He was the Offensive Player of the Year, and he was a Madden cover athlete. And again, he got hurt. But the last 5 winners of the Offensive Player of the Year award were 2024 CMC, 2023 Justin Jefferson, 2022 Cooper Kupp, 2021 Derrick Henry, and 2020 Michael Thomas. The next season for these guys, CMC missed 13 games in 2024. In 2023, I'm sorry, I messed that up. I apologize. They won the award in those years. But the next season, CMC missed 13 games. Justin Jefferson, the next season, won 7 games. Missed 7 games. Cooper Kupp, in the next season, missed 8 games. Derrick Henry missed 9 games. And then Michael Thomas missed 9 games. So all of these guys in the next season after winning the Offensive Player of the Year award missed at least 7 games. And CMC obviously missed 13. So not only is it a Madden curse, but it's potentially an Offensive Player of the Year curse too. I mean, are the Eagles fucked? Are we going to believe in superstition, or is Saquon going to be the guy that kind of gets through it?
Honestly, man, like, I think he'll be fine. He's exploded on the scene for the Eagles. I mean, just the backwards hurdle that he had, was it last season against, God, who were they playing? I don't even know who they were playing, but I mean, like, dude, it seems like after his injuries and stuff and his whole stint with New York, he just needed an out, needed a refresher. And I think it's just up from here for him, dude. I mean, he's playing so well. So I don't think it's going to affect him at all.
Look, man, Saquon is a bit injury prone. I won't say he's like mm-hmm. super, super injury prone, but it doesn't look like he's lost any explosiveness. And realistically, no. With that offensive line, it didn't change from last year. It's probably just going to get better. They're going to mesh more, and I just think he's going to cook. I don't think he's going to win the Offensive Player of the Year or maybe the MVP this year. But if he was to have a down year, I'd be shocked. Again, unless he gets injured, which you never know with both of these curses. I don't think it's going to happen, but it wouldn't shock me.
Especially with running backs. So big and so strong. Like, he's the one guy that you're like, okay, if anybody is to bounce back from injury as a running back, Saquon's got it. So I don't think it's going to affect him at all, to be honest with you. I think he's just going to continue to explode.
Just near all muscle. Like, his legs are fucking...
I mean, he just works hard.
He's a great human being, too, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, I hate the Eagles straight up. I really don't like the Eagles. I love him. And I love that he won because Saquon is a good human being. Wish the best for him. I hope that he doesn't get injured, but it is crazy that he has kind of two curses on him.
Yeah, that what? Somebody came up to him during a game and asked him if he was like a few yards away or a touchdown away from like
10 yards away.
An award for, I think, the most rushing yards or something for Eagles franchise. He's like, nah, give it to let the backups eat. Let those guys eat. And I'm like, I totally respect that, man. That's leadership right there. You know, you always want the other guys that are not going to get too much playing time. I mean, you don't see a lot of the backups coming in anyways. In most games, unless they're absolutely like blowing out the other team. So it's just like, that's just being a good teammate and a good person right there. So salute to Saquon Barkley. And I don't think he's going to lose a step. So I think he's just going to keep climbing and still produce, fairly well for the Eagles.
I agree. Let's hope him the best of luck with the next season and best of health next season as well, mm-hmm. because that kind of seems like the deterring factor for these guys with these curses. So Saquon, we wish you the best of luck. But getting into it, not only is Saquon potentially cooked, but are the Lions cooked? The reason I say that is because Frank Ragnow has announced his retirement
after
7 season. Ragnow?
Ragnow. I think it's Ragnow. Ragnow? I don't know. Maybe you did pronounce it right, but the only reason why I'm saying that is I watched him at Arkansas. That was my peak. Yeah.
That's why I wanted to talk about this. Mm-hmm. Detroit Lions center Frank Ragnow or Ragnow, I apologize if I'm saying that incorrectly, has announced his retirement after 7 seasons. And the reason why I say are the Lions cooked is not only their offseason not being the greatest, they got rid of almost all of their coaches besides their head coach. They got a little healthy, which is probably good for them. But again, they have a lot of new coaches and a potential defense that is, a little injury prone
or coming back from injury.
So we shall see. But again, Frank Ragnow, either way, however you say it, when he has been on the field, the Lions rank 3rd in success rate with a 46.3% and tied for 1st with an EPA per play of 0.10. When he's off the field, they have a success rate of 39.4%, which is 23rd in the league, and an EPA per play of 0.01, which is 12th, again, when he's off the field. So, look, I'm going to say this as brutally honest as I can be. There is three teams that I saw after the Super Bowl that had an over under 14 and a half wins. It was number one, the Lions, number two, the Eagles, and number three, the Chiefs. If I was to put my money on one of those teams not getting to 14 wins, it would be the Lions.
Yeah.
That division.
Yeah.
You're coming off
that division,
you're
dude.
Not healthy. You've changed all of your coordinators. You now have your center, Frank Ragnow or Ragnow, however you say it, retiring.
Arguably,
who again,
one of the best interior linemen in the NFL year in, year out. I mean, he's been fantastic for the Lions.
Exactly. So, Cody, what do you think? Are the Lions cooked?
I don't know, man. I feel like they were just kind of, with last season kind of reaching that peak and giving those fans some hope with how bad they've been historically. And it's just mm-hmm. was kind of like a one-hit wonder thing in my mind. Like, I don't know if they're going to bounce back, or have they reached the ceiling? Are they going to make the playoffs? Or are they going to make the wild card? I don't know, man. Like you said, that the defense is kind of shaky. You know, you got injury prone. Mm-hmm. You just had your best center, your best offensive lineman, probably besides Penei Sewell, retire after only seven seasons. Most guys that are playing offensive line, they normally reach about the 10 season mark. But I mean, it's a position that's extremely physical. And it does have a lot of wear and tear on you. And most people don't know this, but outside of Boise State and Oklahoma, I did root for Arkansas, which is kind of contradictory with them being the SEC with Oklahoma now. But when I was a kid, I followed them a lot. You know, they were kind of the underdog in a lot of situations. And I did watch Frank Ragnow live almost every Saturday, you know, and he was fantastic. The guy could play guard, center, wherever you needed him. And I knew he was going to be a good offensive lineman in the NFL. And I called it with Dre Greenlaw being, you know, the Niners guy. I told him, I was like, watch out for that guy. I'm telling you, he's going to be a steal. And I think a lot of people don't really understand the impact that a team goes through when they lose an offensive lineman, especially a veteran guy, a guy that's been on the field, a center. You know, he's calling everything. You're basically get up to the line, you're calling out the middle linebacker, you're calling out this, you're calling out that, you're looking for this, you're looking for that, you're telling this guy you're going there, you're doing this, you're picking up that. So it's like to kind of have either the backup or whoever they're going to go with, you know, take that spot for him. That's going to be a tough transition, I think, for the Detroit Lions. A lot of people don't realize, man, offensive linemen, it always starts up front. So when you have one of those key, you know, players missing, in this case being retirement, you know, it's kind of like almost a rebuild type of thing.
Right.
For the offensive line group. And I don't know, man. I mean, I think Detroit's going to be a flip of a coin type of team this year. They're either going to explode on the scene and kind of, you know, shock people like they did last year, or they're just not going to make it out of that division. Because, I mean, most of us,
it's stacked.
For all the NFL guys out there too that are going to be watching this segment, I mean, we all know that division is going to be absolutely stacked this season. So it's really sink or swim for Detroit in this upcoming season. And I don't know. I don't know if they're going to explode on the scene, man. I really don't.
Look, I'm going to say this. Historically, last year, it was the greatest division per record ever. It's not like they got worse. I mean, the Bears had a good offseason. We say this every offseason, but they really did. The Vikings, I don't think, got worse. And it's like Green Bay are the they're going to still be Green Bay with 12 wins mm-hmm. or so. You lose all of your coordinators, your coordinators. Ben Johnson, dog. Ben Johnson was easily the best prospect as a head coach. Then he goes to your rival as a Bears head coach. Look, losing a guy like this, it's not like an Eagles situation where you could just plug in Cam Jurgens, who's now one of the best offensive, honestly, linemen in the league, probably a top two center in the league. Mm-hmm. You lose a guy that, like Cody said, is just crucial to just communication and stopping defensive linemen,
not just IQ.
Yeah. Hey, you do this.
It's an IQ position. And the thing is like people don't realize, man, it's not like, you know, you have your guards and your tackles, they're talking, they're communicating, but it all starts at the center position. And you're having to call when you have that guy that knows the system in and out and has been there for seven seasons. There's kind of just a little bit of a disconnect because you don't know how the next guy is going to step up and do it. I played 2 years at a junior college, a really small one in California, and I played center. And obviously it's not nearly as, not nearly goes into depth like the NFL and all the calls and stuff. But I mean, I still had to like go up there and call this guy out and, you know where everybody is going to be at and like know that I got protection on the left side or the right side or wherever it may be. But that was at the base level. You know, that's not the NFL. That's not Division I. That is base level college football. So it's just like,
yep.
When you got a guy in the NFL, you know, professional top league that just retires, you know, it's a crucial piece missing. So I mean, I don't know how Detroit's going to do this season.
Yeah, man, I don't know. I mean, that division is just stacked, man, and it's going to be fun. I'll just say that. I don't trust Jared Goff and the Lions, and I never have. But again, for 14 and a half wins, I'd take the under for that. That's my lock of the season, if you will. But moving on to a couple of other pieces before we kind of get into the 49ers talk, and this one's a bit sad. The Viking great Jim Marsh yesterday, man. And again, we won't talk too much into this because we don't like to be, you know, a news segment that, I guess, talks about sad stuff. But he was a great – he's a Hall of Famer. He really is one of the best of all time, and I think we should at least – pay our dues to him as he's a old guy that was super, super good with the Vikings and one of the Vikings greats. So RIP to Jim Marshall. I don't know if you have anything more with that, Cody, but
I read into it a little bit, but you know, it's obviously a tough thing for that organization. I'm sure they're feeling it. All the condolences to them and his family and rest in peace, man. I know the Viking fans being the really great, you know, fan base that they are. They've always been loyal. You know, I'm sure some of those guys are feeling it today. So, it's a tough situation, but I'm glad we kind of touched on it a little bit.
Yeah, same here. Well, moving on to a completely opposite situation, and this one is a bit crazy to me. Again, it's Vikings talk. I guess we're just going NFC North today, and it's not necessarily Vikings talk, but it is a player that used to play with the Vikings in NFC North, and that's Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs, yet again, solidifying himself as drama queen wide receiver one, because, again, he can't go in offseason without being controversial. I mean, Stephon Diggs, it doesn't stop with this guy, and the reason why we're bringing this up is – you guys didn't see this. There was a video that went viral last week, and it was a video of Stephon Diggs on social media showing him partying on his girlfriend's Cardi B's yacht. However, in the initial leak of videos, she was nowhere to be seen, and one video shows Diggs surrounded by a group of women that he eventually handed an unidentified pink substance to. Stephon Diggs was doing and soliciting drugs to these girls. In the video, you can clearly see it. And it's like, Stephon Diggs, you've been doing this. You've been doing this since the Vikings. I mean, he just solidifies himself every single year, every offseason. Him and Brandon Ayuk, and we'll get into it, as wide receiver 1A and 1B drama queen type of guys. And it's like, what are we doing? Again, this isn't like super, you know, drama filled. But my question to you is, if you're the NFL and you saw it, you saw this leak of the video, what do you do? Clearly, he has drugs in his position. Clearly, he has drugs in his possession. He's soliciting it. Now, does he do it in the video? No, but he has it on a boat. How do you punish him?
I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, I just don't think there's any room for that type of shit in the NFL. I mean, yes, he's the player that he is, and he's been extremely successful, been kind of, you know, the picture boy for the NFL. You know, a lot of people look up to him. But when you see a video of him doing that and then also slapping Cardi B on her on her behind, and he has a family at home, it's like, brother, it's time to go sign to the Argonauts in the CFL. I don't
and he's see like 30 like, something.
Yeah, I don't
coming
really
off
see
an Achilles
like,
injury starting with the new team. It's like, bro, you don't want this drama.
I just like, don't think it's gonna work out for him, man. I think this is gonna really come back to bite him in the ass. It's almost like it's not like the Brett Favre situation because that was completely different with him soliciting photos to a person that worked for. But it's almost like you reach that level of fame and then these guys just start going crazy, man. It's almost like Antonio Brown behavior minus the amount of CTE that guy has. And it's just like I don't think there's any room in the NFL for that. You know, it's CFL's hiring.
It's always these wide receivers. It's like, what are we doing? Like, you're
if I was an so NFL money. Owner, if I was an NFL owner, I wouldn't even invest. Like, I would just be like, you're done, man. Like, you just Raven didn't have came that type out of shit, just man. Like,
yeah, we're investigating the video, which means he's not going to get punished. You can't do anything. What's the best you can do? Drug test him when he gets back to New England? It'll be out of a system.
Yeah.
It'll be out of a system. That's the issue with this shit is, like, you drug test these fools, but they know when they're getting drug tested, and if they don't, they could easily take something right before going and in. It gets rid of it.
I just don't think. Because it's like, what does it say to the rest of the guys? I mean, there's been plenty of accusations and things that NFL players have done horrible acts. Alden Smith with the saying he had a bomb in the airport.
That
guy never played. That guy played for the Raiders for like 2 seasons, perfect fit for the Raiders, and then they're like, we're done with you. Right. Michael Vick with the pit bull situation, he's done.
AB walking off the field.
It's just so much that you just can't come back from. I mean, these are all like these all those players that I mentioned were good players. So it's like, where does that leave Stephon Diggs? And what does that say to the NFL?
Once money gets involved, it's like these guys throw their whole personalities out the window, and it's like they're celebrities. And it's like Stephon Diggs has done this since he was with the Vikings. Do you remember, I think it was a punter in the Vikings locker room. He went around, and if it wasn't, my apologies. Anyways, he went around asking the whole Vikings locker room, hey, if there was one guy you would not allow to date your daughter, who would it be? Every single one said Stephon Diggs, no question.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and now we see videos of this, and it's like,
and he's like, I'm a good guy. I'm like,
Stephon, what are we doing, dude? Like,
I don't know, brother. It's not looking great for you.
Achilles, and now you're with a new team, and you're just starting drama, and you're putting yourself in a bad situation after making top 15 wide receiver money again.
Yeah, at this point, it's just, you know, we'll leave it at this. I just don't think there's any room in the league for him. He's been around long enough to where it's like, you know, he wanted to make that decision. Obviously, he knew, did he not think people were going to record him? Like, did he not think this was going to get leaked out? Like,
I'm like, who was recording him? Because there's
it was probably one of those girls.
I'm like,
they're like, oh, we'll game
recording like this.
Had to, like, it had to be had like, to. And I know Offset is just punching the air right now.
Oh yeah, dude.
But I don't think they're. I don't think you can really bounce back from that, man. So,
no. Yeah. Well, we're gonna move on to some more drama, and like I said, drama queen 1B wide receiver. Brandon Ayuk, yet again, is BA turning into AB? I mean, this it's man on Instagram him, man. And social I media, think... what the fuck is going on? If you guys didn't see it, I'll try to show it to you guys right here. He posted this on his Instagram story yesterday. That is T.O. with a bunch of media around him while he's doing a sit-up. And the caption is, GOAT. Afterwards, about 30 minutes later, he posted, y'all cry baby ass divas be killing the vibes on IG. Shake my head. It got to be an age limit on hating. If you 30 years or older, just post your kids and shut the fuck up. It's getting to him, man. I mean, all this shit talk, it's getting to him.
What is this? What does this do for?
We're fucking 49ers fans, but he deserves it. You have the full offseason that you did, and then you come out and play like dog shit, and you tear up your knee. Tearing up your knee, not your issue. Playing like dog shit, that is your issue. Sorry.
I told him, I said it from the beginning, and some people might disagree with me. Niner fans might come through my throat. But when that whole thing was going on where he didn't want to sign a contract and was just sitting on his ass in Sacramento where he was living and not doing anything, I was like, that's when we should have just got rid of his ass. Because we offered him the same amount in the beginning, and he agreed on it. Literally the amount that we gave him was the amount that he was offered in the beginning, which he sat on for how long? It's like, dude, I don't get, like, dude, he just hasn't been, like, producing. It's just drama. Like, it's like, dude, I said that we shouldn't even have signed him back. We should have let his ass go. Go find another team that will fucking take you for 30, 40 million because I'm done with it. Like,
and so it's just stupid. I want to say this. His wide receiver coach used to play in the NFL. His name is TJ. He played for the Steelers. Hold on. Let me look it up real quick. Wide receiver coach. TJ Houshmandzadeh, apologies for that. Our internet kind of just took a shit, but I think we're back and rolling now. Like I was saying, though, his wide receiver coach was asked in one of those shows about Brock Purdy's contract, and his response was that Brock Purdy was overpaid, right? And so this whole thing happens where he's talking about quarterbacks and how they're all overpaid per the market because no one can win. Mind you, there's only two guys in the NFL right now that have won Super Bowl: Patrick Mahomes, Matthew Stafford, and Aaron Rodgers, who's kind of retired, kind of not. We don't know that whole situation. But the rest of the guys have been paid really well, top 10. No one's won a Super Bowl. Brock has gotten to a Super Bowl and won an NFC – or gotten to a Super Bowl and lost an NFC championship. So his success compared to the top 10, not the same. However, after that, there was also a video that came out in regards to Julio Jones. And Julio Jones's wide receiver coach is the same guy. So, again – Brandon Ayuk, being Brandon Ayuk, saw this, and Julio Jones right after. In that same interview, he had came out and confirmed what his wide receiver coach said, I believe, was that he got four targets in the Super Bowl and that Julio Jones was pissed off about it. Brandon Ayuk goes right after the interview drops and posts a picture of Julio Jones. It's like, dude, if you're going to be immature and a baby about shit, at least come out and say what the fuck you're feeling rather than saying you feel like you didn't get the ball enough in the Super Bowl and you're just being immature. You're being immature, yeah. And this is how you're dealing with shit. And then I'm hearing things like, oh, Brandon Ayuk is at training camp right now coaching up these wide receivers. I'm like, what? What is going on with this dude, man? Like, he's just so unpredictable.
Yeah, I just feel like it's just 49er drama. There's always some. It always kind of resurfaces, and I'm kind of over it. You know, I've been over the Brandon Ayuk train for a while. I did like him. You know, he had his moments of being a star, and then there was times where he just fell flat, and then injury hit him, and then he turned into a diva and was begging and holding out like a baby, and I'm just like, I don't want to deal with it anymore, man. Like, it just
better fall out next year.
Yeah, I mean, if he's on the hot seat, if he's not, then frick, trade him away.
Better ball out.
Just pay his check and trade him somewhere.
We're going to continue with the 49ers news and then get into the blind ranking because this is the last piece of the segment that we have for this news segment, and that is the 49ers trading for Bryce Huff. This included a 2026 fifth-round pick, and the trade includes – sorry, I just said that. Within the trade, the 49ers will pay Huff just under $8 million this year after he restructured his deal ahead of the trade. So I think this is a pretty good one. Obviously, the 49ers get Bryce Huff for a 2026 fifth round pick, and they pay $8 million a year for a guy that could be potentially pretty good. And the reason why I say that I like this a lot is because Bryce Huff had a career year with Saleh when he was on the Jets in 2023 with 10 sacks, and he was not playing full time. He wasn't their full starter. I believe he was a rotation guy, and maybe he was a starter, but they rotated a lot of guys in. But 10 sacks on the amount of attempts that he had was really good for that year. And then the Eagles paid him a fuck ton of money, and obviously the Eagles are super deep now, and he did not perform in that same defense because they switched the scheme up with the Eagles. But now he's with Robert Saleh again. And so will the 49ers get the 10-sack season that he had in 2023? That is the hope. But even if we don't and it doesn't work out, we gave up a fifth-round pick, and we're paying him $8 million. It is definitely 100,000% worth the risk. And again, I think that's pretty solid for the Eagles too. A fifth round pick for a dude like that, and you get rid of the contract. I don't know if the Niners will pick up his contract. This is probably like a prove me year with $8 million. But if I'm the Niners, I'm happy with this. I mean, this is a hell of a pickup in my eyes.
I mean, I don't see anything wrong with it. I mean, he played well, you know, yeah. Other than maybe a few games, but I mean, it adds depth and. God knows that the Niners need more, you know, defensive ends, especially some guys that have played in the league for a while. Right. And, you know, it's like other than Bosa, I mean, we've had a lot of guys, you know, veterans sign and then leave. And then, you know, we have a lot of rookies, and it's just like adding that kind of veteran sense.
Missed on a lot of draft picks.
I feel like it's a win-win for the Niners. So I'm pretty stoked about that.
Yeah, dude, I'm pretty happy. Honestly, the way this offseason has gone so far, I'm happier than I thought I was going to be going into the season. That's all I'm going to say. That ends the new segment. Shit, hold on one second. I just got a little too excited for this one. Cody, can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Perfect. All right. Well, obviously, I'm pretty excited for this one. If you guys don't know, Cody and I are 25, almost 26. So we've been watching the 49ers for a while now. And I was trying to think of something that would be fun for both of you and I, because, you know, we've been watching together for a long bit of time. And I was like, you know, we could do a blind ranking of the worst losses or best losses and continue that train. But I thought it would be fun for both of us to do a blind ranking of the most nostalgic 49ers players. And mind you, this list will be basically from like the late 2000s to early 2010s. It's a fun list, I'm not going to lie. I added a little bit of offensive players, a little bit of defensive players. I think I added the guy that you're expecting. This is your guy. At least this was your guy. So we shall see. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
So you're gonna blind rank this 1 through 5. With them being the most nostalgic. So not the best.
Well, 1 being the most nostalgic and 5 yes. being like the – okay.
Yes. Okay. We are starting off with a bang. Your first player is Joe Staley.
Oh, my God, dude. The Staley, the master, the craftsman, one of the best tackles I've seen. One of the best prime tackles I've seen with my own eyes. I mean, the guy was just fantastic. And as you guys know, I love the guys up front. So – I love watching Joe Staley. Just long, had the perfect body for a tackle, and just dominated. You know, he could do it all. I mean, he was just fantastic. Even on the run, he was a lot. He was a really, really long guy. So you kind of were like, "How's he going to do on the run? How's he going to do the run?" And mm-hmm. he was great. He really used that leverage, and you know, having those long arms to his advantage. And he was fantastic on the pass pro. As he got older, I mean, it definitely started to catch up to him, and we saw him decline mm-hmm. rapidly. But dude, I mean, fuck, Joe Staley was my guy. I love that dude. Honestly, dude, I'd probably rank him at like 3.
Okay.
Because I know there's some names on this list. I'm gonna put him like right in the middle. You know,
so
3.
I will say that's always pretty smart, putting the first player at 3. Mm-hmm. And mind you, that might be a little low or a little high, depending, but I think that's smart. Okay.
All right. We'll put him at 3.
All right. Your second player is Ahmad Brooks.
Oh, my God. Ahmad Brooks. Just almost like he was like the anchor of the Niners defense. Yeah. Like almost like not a forgotten dude, but like he just was so good when he needed to be. You know, linebacker, but came off the edge all the time. And he was fantastic, dude. He always showed up in the clutch. You know, he wasn't a drama filled player. He came in, he clocked in, brought his lunch pail, and he came to work every single day. I loved watching him play, dude. And it's a guy that if you weren't a Niners fan or a really kind of a sicko NFL guy, like you're not going to really remember Ahmad Brooks, but he was definitely a fan favorite if you're a Niner guy. And I would say that I would put him, ooh, this is a tough one, dude. I think
I
got to throw
more nostalgic than Joe.
I think I'm going to throw him at 4.
Okay.
I'm going to throw him at 4 because I know there's some guys on this list. I know there's some players coming up.
All right. Well, your third player is Frank Gore.
Oh my God. Frank fucking Gore. Dude, just an absolute bulldozer of a man.
Mr. Consistent.
And what people forget about Frank Gore, and what's always funny to me, is he played on a Miami team where he was the third string running back. Yeah. That's how fucking good that team was. He was the third string. Frank Gore is one of those guys that would just run through your face and do it just Marshawn Lynch style, basically, and was just an absolute workhorse, man. Oh, my God. We ran – and unfortunately, like, you know, love the Niners, but we ran that
round.
Straight into the dirt. I mean, every time we ran the football with Frank Gore so many fucking times where I'm like, I don't know how he's still fucking moving. Even when he was older, you know, his speed declined, but he'd still break through guys and just like bust it for 50 yards. And, you know, he might get tackled by a DB, but like, dude, I'm putting him at 2. I think Frank Gore was fantastic and just brings back a lot of good memories, you know, of him being on the 49ers.
I agree. You have left the last 2 spots open with these players with 1 and 5. Your next player is Justin Smith.
Yes. The fucking cowboy, the madman, the fucking God, he was just so scary looking. Like he just cornered
so good
straight out of Missouri, ass kicker, had the typical
massive I'm 300-pound white dude tattoo on his arm. Just an absolute disruptive human being on the defensive line. And if you guys didn't have the chance to watch Justin Smith fucking in his prime, that guy was fantastic. Just he was an interior guy. I mean, he wreaked havoc on offensive linemen, dude. Had fantastic hands for his size. He had a motor like no other. If you want to guys, if you want to say who had one of the best motors as a defensive lineman, I'm telling you, Justin Smith was that dude. And he was just so fucking good. Honestly, bro, I got to throw him at one. I'm throwing Justin Smith at one, dude. Love that fucking man to the bottom of my heart. And he's probably one of the most nostalgic players because I always, you know, dad, gotta love him, always be like, there he is, Justin Smith, the fucking cowboy, that country fed, you know, just going off. You know, he'd always look at us. He's like, that guy was from the fields out in Missouri. Straight off the farm. That's farm strength right there. You know, and I was just like, the guy was
corn fed,
you know, just one of my favorite players to watch as a 49er fan, dude. Long live freaking Justin Smith, bro. That guy was fucking awesome.
Well, Cody,
I hope I didn't make a mistake.
For the last two guys.
I feel like I might have made a mistake somewhere along the lines, but I feel like my ranking's bad.
Your guy I knew was Justin Smith, but I also kind of put your guy 1B here. And he's going to be in your fifth spot as Deshaun Golson. God.
Fuck you, motherfucker. You left a blast. I knew Deshaun Golson. When I said my guy, I was thinking Justin Smith or Deshaun Golson.
And I did both on purpose.
And I knew that Deshaun Golson was coming up, and I was just waiting for him. I'm like, fuck, man, I can't, like. Dude, for any of you guys know about Deshaun Golson, Washington Husky legend, just an absolute fucking piss missile.
A bruiser. A
lot of dudes that, I'm telling you, this is the one guy that, like, most NFL fans forget about. I'm telling you right there is Deshaun Golson and maybe even Dante Whitner. Deshaun Golson.
Together, fucking crazy.
Deshaun Golson for me is one of the most nostalgic players. I wish, you know, he came up earlier in the list, and he's going to be at that fifth spot. But, dude, that guy was an absolute fucking beast. I mean, if you were a wide receiver and you knew you were playing Deshaun Golson and Dante Whitner, you don't want to get the football. That guy would literally come at you so fast that he would hurt himself trying to fucking take your head off. And he'd do it with the big-ass gold grills in his mouth, fucking swinging-ass dreadlocks, dude. I mean, he came in with that
big, swagger. Big, long-ass dreadlocks.
If you were a wide receiver running a 5-yard slant, you know, a 10-yard in, and you don't see that man coming, RIP to you. You're not getting back up. I mean, I saw that dude take out so many fucking dudes in games. Like, it was honestly just legendary. I mean, I love Deshaun Golson. Loved him, dude.
So I'm going to read out your list, and then I want you to actually put it 1 through 5 if you could have your choice.
Okay.
So you blind ranked these 5 guys. At number 1, you had Justin Smith. At number 2, you had Frank Gore. At number 3, you had Joe Staley. At number 4, you had Ahmad Brooks. And at number 5, you had Deshaun Golson. And obviously, that was not in the list that I read it out to you. So blind rank those guys based off the list I gave. Give it in an order that you could have if you had your choice. Because I think this is a very tough list.
Number 1, I had Justin Smith. And he's going to stay there. Most nostalgic guy for me. I fucking love that man. Number 2 is probably, I'm not even going to lie, like probably Deshaun Golson.
Yeah, I'd do it.
Number 3, I'm putting Joe Staley there. Number 4, Ahmad. And then number 5 was...
Frank Gore?
Oh, wait. Hold on.
No, I think you would I think you level it out by lowering those 3, right? It would just be
Deshaun
Golson, Frank Gore, Joe Staley, Brooks.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. That's the list right there. That's the top 5.
Crazy hard list, but that was a lot of fun. Golly, man.
A lot of good memories, man, of those guys, man. That freaking defense and our offense, it just was great.
Should have won against the Ravens, man, but we'll eventually win, hopefully. Anyways, that wraps up the episode. Cody, you got anything else?
I don't, man. I appreciate you guys tuning in every 2 weeks. If you are new here, like, subscribe, to the In the End Zone podcast, to the Settle Down podcast, to the Takeover podcast, blow us up, repost, all that good stuff, man. And we appreciate you guys. Thank you very much.
Cool. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
Peace.